I want to start today with a feeling I think everyone listening has had. You wake up, you check your phone, and it's just a deluge. Emails, Slack notifications, 3 different newsletters you don't remember subscribing to, LinkedIn posts, podcasts. It feels like the world is screaming at you.
The noise level is definitely at an all-time high.
It is deafening.
Mm.
And usually when we talk about this, we use that buzzword, you know, the attention economy. We picture it as this battlefield where every brand is fighting over our limited attention span.
Right.
But I was reading through the source material for today's deep dive, and I found a concept that completely flipped that idea on its head.
You're talking about content saturation.
That's the one. And honestly, it's a little terrifying when you really sit with it.
It is, but it's also the reality of the internet today. The core argument in the sources is that for the first time in history, distribution is no longer the barrier.
No longer the barrier to business growth, you mean?
Exactly. Think about it. 20 years ago, if you wanted to reach 1 million people, you needed a broadcast tower or a printing press. You needed, you know, physical infrastructure.
Right. Now you just need Wi-Fi and a login.
The shelf space on Spotify, on YouTube, on the internet itself, it's effectively infinite. You don't need permission to upload. So the bottleneck has shifted.
But it's not about where you put the content anymore.
Not at all. It is about the sheer crushing production capacity required to fill that infinite shelf space with something that isn't just noise.
That's the catch.
Yeah.
Just because the shelf is infinite doesn't mean anyone is looking at your section of it.
That's it. To win now, you need production capacity that scales way, way beyond what a traditional marketing team can handle manually.
And that, I think, sets the stage for our deep dive today. We are looking at a very specific, very interesting collision of two worlds. On one side, we have a company called Codility.
The technical hiring platform.
Right. And on the surface, they seem miles away from the content game. They help global enterprises hire engineers. They've evaluated something like, what was it, 16 million developers?
Yeah, a huge number. They're the heavyweights in that space.
And we aren't just talking about, can you code in Python?
No, no. We are talking about industrial organizational psychology, psychometrics, building AI-ready teams. This is dense, rigorous science.
And then that is their problem. Or maybe their opportunity. Codility is sitting on this absolute mountain of expertise. They operate in 68 countries. They have this sophisticated engineering skills model 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is the key question, how do you get that massive amount of technical knowledge out of a static PDF and into the ears of a hiring manager in Berlin or a CTO in Tokyo without hiring an absolute army of writers and producers?
That is the million-dollar question, and that is why we are pairing Codility today with a tool called AutoContent API.
Now, I want to pause here, because when I say content tool, I think a lot of people immediately picture a cheap chatbot that writes, you know, a generic LinkedIn post.
Yeah, the here are 5 tips for leadership kind of thing.
Exactly. We aren't talking about that, are we?
Far from it.
Right.
The sources describe AutoContent API as an industrial engine for content. This isn't a writing assistant. It's infrastructure.
Okay.
So the mission of this deep dive is to explore what happens when a technical giant like Codility adopts a strategy of headless content production.
Headless content production. It sounds a bit like a horror movie, but I know in tech, headless usually means decoupled, right? Like headless commerce.
That's the right analogy. It means separating the back end from the front end. In this context, it means separating the idea from the production.
So let's unpack that, because usually creation is a messy linear process. I have an idea, I write a draft, I edit it, I record it. It takes days.
It does. And the AutoContent API philosophy argues that this linear process is obsolete for enterprise companies. Their thesis is that companies like Codility don't need ideation.
They don't need a bot to dream up ideas for them.
Not at all. They already have the ideas. The ideas are just trapped.
Trapped where?
They're trapped in white papers, in messy data sets, in Slack threads between engineers, in case study PDFs. The value exists. It is just in the wrong format.
So the API isn't about creation from nothing. It's about transformation.
That's the word they use. Transformation.
Okay, let's ground this in reality. I was looking at Codility's site to prepare for this, and they have some incredible customer stories. There's one about Unity, the gaming engine company.
Oh, that is a classic example of what we're talking about, the data trap.
So the stat they have is that by using Codility, Unity saved 2,200 hours of interview time.
Which is a staggering number.
It is. They describe it as gaining time to launch an entirely new product.
That's a huge impact. That is the kind of story that sells software.
But right now, that story lives primarily as a text case study on their website. Maybe a downloadable PDF. It is passive. It just sits there.
And in the manual world, if Codility wants to turn that PDF into something dynamic, what do they have to do?
Well, traditionally, they'd have to hire a script writer to adapt it, then voice actors to record a podcast about it, maybe hire a video crew, an editor. It's a whole thing.
It is expensive, it is slow, and it's a pain to coordinate. But with the content transformation philosophy, Codility simply feeds the URL of that Unity case study into the auto content API.
Just the link. They don't have to copy-paste the text or clean it up.
Just the link. The API crawls the page, extracts the core structured data, the problem, the solution, the metrics, like that 2,200 hours saved, and the transformation engine kicks in.
And what comes out the other side?
Whatever you configured it to produce. It could be a two-person dialogue like what we're doing now, discussing the implications of saving all that time.
Okay.
And at the same time, it generates a blog post summary, a set of LinkedIn carousels, and even a video script.
So you go from having one static PDF to having native assets for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LinkedIn, Twitter, basically with one click.
That is the promise. The source material calls this hyperscalability. You're moving from publishing weekly to potentially publishing hourly across multiple formats.
And the critical part, I'm guessing, for any CFO listening, is that the cost doesn't rise proportionally.
Exactly. You are decoupling production from human time constraints.
But I have to play devil's advocate here. If you just automate everything, doesn't it sound robotic? I mean, Codility is a premium brand. They talk about psychometrics. They can't sound like a generic robot.
That is a valid fear, a totally valid fear. But this is where the API part matters. You aren't just hitting a button that says, make blog. You can pass parameters. You can inject brand voice guidelines.
Oh, okay.
You can tell the API, use a professional but authoritative tone. Never use slang. Focus on the data. Cite the engineering skills model 2.0.
So you can guardrail it.
You can strictly guardrail it. Mm-hmm. And because Codility's source material, that Unity case study, is so high quality to begin with, the output is high quality. We always say garbage in, garbage out, right?
Right.
Well, in this case, it's gold in, gold out.
That makes sense. They have the substance. The API just builds the vehicle.
But there is a catch. Or rather a massive hurdle that most companies trip over.
What's that?
Codility isn't just talking to Silicon Valley. You mentioned they operate in 68 countries.
Right. They're global.
This is where we hit the language barrier. And honestly, this is where most global content strategies just fall apart completely.
Because translation is a nightmare.
It is incredibly hard and expensive. Let's say Codility releases a new report on the skills revolution. They want to reach engineering leaders in Brazil, Germany, France, and Japan.
So traditionally, you'd need local content teams in every one of those markets.
You would, to rewrite it, culturalize it, publish it.
Which is why most companies just publish in English and hope for the best. The English default strategy.
Which leaves a lot of money on the table. But the auto content API supports over 50 languages. And we aren't just talking about text-to-text translation here. We're talking about multimedia synthesis.
Walk me through that. Codility publishes their English report.
Yeah.
Then what?
They feed that source into the API. The API transcribes the core concepts. Then it translates them, not just swapping words, but adapting the semantic meaning for that language. And then it resynthesizes audio and video.
Wait, so they could have a German language podcast about their skills model generated instantly?
Yes. And a Japanese video with subtitles, and a Portuguese summary.
That is incredible leverage.
Mm-hmm.
But does it handle the technical terms? I mean, Python has to stay Python. Algorithm has to be correct.
That is the advantage of the modern models inside the API. They are context aware. They know that in a software context, bug isn't an insect.
Got it.
Think about the total addressable market, or TAM. If Codility only publishes in English, they are capping their reach. By automating this, the sources suggest you can effectively multiply your TAM by 5x overnight.
Because you're present wherever your audience chooses to dwell.
Exactly. Regardless of the language they speak.
It's interesting you mentioned that phrase, where the audience dwells. Because for Codility, the audience isn't just the hiring manager. It's the candidate, the engineer taking the test.
This is a critical distinction. Codility has a product called Screen. It sends these asynchronous skills assessments to candidates.
I have taken tests like that. And I'll be honest, It is stressful.
It's incredibly stressful. You get an email, please take this 90-minute coding test.
And immediately I'm sweating. I have a million questions. How does the code editor work? Can I paste code from my own IDE? What if my internet cuts out?
Is the timer pausing? Yeah, all of that. And if you don't know the answer, you enter the test anxious. And anxiety impacts performance.
So you might fail the test, not because you're a bad coder, but because you were stressed about the interface.
Which is bad for Codility because their whole promise is valid assessment. If the tool gets in the way, the assessment isn't valid.
Precisely.
Now, this is where the explainer video's endpoint of the API comes into play. We've talked about high-level thought leadership, but this is about the nitty-gritty user experience.
How does the API help here?
Codility could set the API to crawl their documentation pages. They have pages explaining the editor, the timer, the accessibility features. The API can then generate 60 to 90 second videos, vertical for mobile, horizontal for desktop, with AI avatars.
Explaining exactly how to take the test.
Exactly. So instead of reading a wall of text instructions, the candidate sees a video avatar saying, "Hi, here is how the code editor works. Don't worry about the timer."
It's visual, it's reassuring. Simple.
Yeah. But wait, video production is usually the most expensive thing you can do. If they have 50 different test types, that's 50 videos. That's tens of thousands of dollars if you hire an agency.
In the manual world, yes. A manual video production for a high-quality explainer might cost anywhere from, what, $300 to $10,000?
Depending on animation and actors, yeah. But producing these via the API, the source says it costs about 400 credits per video.
Which translates to what in real money?
Roughly 4 euros.
4 euros versus $300.
It shifts the economics completely. It means Codility can afford to have a specific explainer video for every single type of test they offer, even the niche ones.
But that is a no-brainer just for support costs. Fewer tickets asking, how does this work?
Massive reduction in support tickets.
Yeah.
But there is a secondary benefit that I think is even more strategic for Codility.
What's that?
SEO, search engine optimization.
How do support videos help with SEO?
It is about a metric called dwell time. Google watches how long people stay on a page. If you have a wall of text, people scan it and bounce.
But if you have a video embedded, they stop to watch it.
They stop. The source material claims that pages with video are 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times? That seems high.
That is the stat from the source. It is a massive signal to the search algorithms that the page has value. So by using the API to flood their documentation with these helpful videos, they aren't just helping candidates feel less anxious.
They are drastically increasing their visibility in organic search. That is a win-win if I've ever heard one.
It really is.
Okay, so we've covered the candidates. Let's zoom back out to the big picture. Codility positions itself as a leader in AI readiness. Their website is all about skills-based talent management for an AI-driven world.
That is their core value proposition right now. They need to prove they understand the market shift, specifically things like the rise of prompt engineering or how AI is changing what a good developer even means.
But here's the problem with AI trends. They change every single week. If you're writing a white paper about AI, it takes a month. By the time you publish it, the tech has changed.
You are absolutely right. Traditional content cycles are too slow for the AI news cycle. And this is where the auto-content deep research endpoint becomes a game changer.
Deep research. How is that different from just asking ChatGPT a question? I do that all the time.
It's a significant difference. A standard LLM prompt just predicts the next word based on training data that might be 6 months or a year old. The deep research endpoint uses agents. Autonomous software agents. It actually browses the live web. It reads reputable sources. The API docs mention things like the Financial Times, SEC.gov, major tech publications, and it cross-references claims.
So it's doing actual journalism, essentially, checking sources.
In a sense, yes. It provides structured output with citations. But here is the workflow for Codility. They could set up a recurring research task.
Like an automated assignment.
Imagine a task running in the background. Scan for new trends in AI coding assessments every 24 hours. The API wakes up, scans the web, reads the latest papers, and identifies that, for example, there's a huge debate breaking out about whether junior developers are being replaced by AI.
And then what? It just sends an email?
It could, but better yet, it triggers a newsjacking workflow.
Newsjacking, I love that term, but sounds aggressive.
It's the art of injecting your brand into a breaking news story. If a big story breaks about AI replacing devs, the API can instantly generate a video script or a podcast segment with Codility's perspective.
Which, based on their site, is we don't replace, we upskill.
That's the angle. So instead of having a meeting to discuss whether they should write a blog post and then drafting it 3 days later, the draft is ready to review minutes after the trend is identified.
But wait, do you just let it publish automatically? That sounds risky.
Yeah.
What if the AI hallucinates or says something controversial?
You never let it publish automatically for high-stakes stuff. That is the headless concept again. The API produces the draft. A human expert at Codility reviews it, tweets the tone, and hits approve.
So you're editing, not writing from a blank page.
Which is infinitely faster. It allows Codility to look incredibly agile and authoritative. Speed is a feature. In thought leadership, being first often matters as much as being right.
It really reinforces that idea of the automated enterprise. You aren't just faster, you're operating at a different cadence entirely.
Now, we've talked a lot about external marketing, candidates, clients, the global market. But I want to turn inward for a second. Codility is a complex company.
Right. They have industrial organizational psychologists, they have release notes, and scientific documentation.
And I'm guessing the sales team doesn't always read the scientific documentation.
Information silos are a classic problem in companies like that. The sales team might not fully get the new psychometric science the product team just shipped because it's buried in a 10-page technical memo.
And nobody wants to read a 10-page memo on bias reduction in algorithms at 5 o'clock on Friday.
That is the reality.
Hmm.
This is where the private podcast network concept comes in.
The Auto Content API allows you to take those dense internal PDFs and convert them into engaging audio episodes.
So I can listen to the release notes on my drive to work.
You can. And the data shows employees are much more likely to listen to a 10-minute audio summary during a commute than they are to read that memo. It creates better alignment.
Okay.
But there is a specific feature here that I think applies perfectly to Codility's leadership.
Which one is that?
Voice cloning.
Ah, yes. The ability to clone a voice. This is where it gets a little sci-fi again.
It does, but think about the CEO paradox. Everyone in the company wants to hear from the CEO or the head of science. They want the vision, the passion. But those leaders have absolutely no time to record podcasts every day.
They're busy running the company.
Right. With the voice cloning endpoint, Codility CEO could record a few minutes of audio once. The API creates a high-quality clone. Then the internal comms team can generate daily or weekly updates narrated by the CEO's voice.
Hi, team. Here's the update on Q3 goals. But the CEO never actually said it into a mic.
Not into a microphone, no. They approved the text, but the audio was generated.
That is useful, but is it believable? Or does it sound like a GPS navigator? Turn left at the quarterly goal.
The technology has advanced so rapidly. The source material describes these voices as natural, steady, and believable. It maintains that personal connection at scale.
So you're scaling mental availability internally, just like we talked about doing externally.
Exactly. It allows the leadership to be omnipresent without burning out, which is the whole goal of automation.
So let's zoom out and look at the whole picture here. We started with content saturation. We've looked at how Codility can take their massive data advantage and use Auto Content API to turn it into podcasts, videos, and social posts.
We covered the global reach, the candidate experience, and even the internal culture.
And if we summarize it, we aren't just talking about making content faster. This is about treating content as infrastructure.
That's a great way to put it. For a company like Codility, which thrives on efficiency and data, relying on a manual, artisanal content strategy actually makes no sense. It is a mismatch with their DNA.
It is like using a horse and buggy to deliver microchips.
A perfect analogy. By using the API, they are building an infrastructure that scales their expertise alongside their technical assessments. They are ensuring that their ability to communicate matches their ability to assess.
And that brings us to the final thought I want to leave our listeners with. The sources mentioned something about the future of the web, the agentic web.
Yes. This is the provocative thought for the road.
Break that down for us. What is the agentic web?
We are moving toward a world where AI agents like Google's Search Generative Experience or OpenAI's agents are the ones reading content to answer human questions.
So the user asks Google, what is the best way to assess Python skills? And Google's AI reads the content to formulate the answer. The human never actually visits the website.
That is the direction we are heading. And those agents, they prefer structured data, they prefer clear transcripts, they prefer the kind of high-volume, well-structured output that an API provides.
They don't have the patience for nuance or vague marketing fluff.
Not at all. So the question for Codility, and really for anyone listening, is this. Are you building content for humans to stumble upon? Or are you building content for agents to process?
Because if the agents can't read it, the humans won't ever see the answer.
And survival in the next phase of the digital economy might just depend on having an API that speaks the language of the machines.
A little chilling, but also incredibly exciting. That is all the time we have for this deep dive. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.